The Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees 2-0, a dominant pitching performance as Drew Hutchison and Aaron Sanchez combined on a one-hit shutout. Sanchez six up and six down for his first major league save. He ends it by striking out Brian McCann with 98 miles an hour of heat right down the middle. McCann just looking at it. An amazing game for the Blue Jays. Gets them back over 500 at 68-67. And for now, six games behind the Detroit Tigers, who hold that second wild card in the American League. The Tigers are playing a doubleheader today. And right now in the bottom of the eighth, they trail the Chicago White Sox by a score of 6-3 in the opener. Phone lines are open. We don't have a lot of time to take your calls before we let the network go. But after the top of the hour, we will continue our Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.ca. So if you're on hold and I don't get to you before 4 o'clock Eastern, stay on hold. We will definitely get to you after. We are going to start with Eddie in Fort Erie, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hey, Eddie.
How you doing, Mike? Mike?
Go ahead.
Well, you know what? I was very impressed with how Hutchison pitched today. You know, he really challenged the Yankee hitters, and, you know, it was a well-balanced Yankee lineup, too. I mean, 1-9, I mean, that's like something you get to think to yourself, okay, what do I do against this well-balanced lineup? Well, simple. He just went right at him. Strike after strike after strike, and that's what you have to do against a team that works the count a lot, and if you throw strikes, you're going to win the game, and sure enough, they did. And I also noticed today how much the Blue Jay fans and everyone that was there today clapping for Derek Jeter. That was pretty cool, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to get tomorrow, because I'm going to be there. And thank you for taking my call, Mike, and maybe I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, Eddie, thanks for the call. Hutchison was, fantastic, and you're right. Strike after strike, challenging the Yankee hitters. He set down the first 11 he faced, and he set down 10 of the last 12 with that little bump in the middle where he hit two guys around to double to load the bases, but got out of that. He was phenomenal, and it was great to see, because like I was talking about with Joe Siddle in the sixth inning, we were both thinking, he's hit the wall, and this workload has gotten to him, and maybe you shut him down. Maybe you send him down for a couple of weeks, let him catch his breath. But, man, has he ever responded and been fantastic now the last 20 innings he's pitched. I think he's given up one earned run over his last 20 innings. Drew Hutchison, 19 innings. One earned run over his last 19 innings of work. That's pretty impressive. And it comes off a six-run first inning in Chicago. As far as the Jeter thing, I'm sure we'll get into this in our local hour. I think it's a little, it's more than a little too much. I mean, he's Derek Jeter. He's a Hall of Famer. He's got almost 35 hits. He is a fantastic ball player. But a standing ovation every day for Derek Jeter here in Toronto, I don't understand why that's necessary. I'm sure he's going to get one tomorrow. I would have been okay with just one tomorrow because he's getting honored and all of that stuff. I think one every day is a little much. Andrew in Port Hope listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hey, Andrew.
Hi, Mike. How you doing? I talked to you last week. I'll tell you something right now. That was a great performance. That's copped and obvious. I will say I was at the game last night with my young lad, and we beat ourselves. The Blue Jays beat themselves. We had that game. We made some throwing minor errors, not cutting the cutoff man. But I will say, there was a comment made today, I think it was by Joe Siddle, and it was we have some of the top hitters in the top three in the game. And going forward, I think we've got a real good situation here. I want to back AA up a little bit. He has a plan. It didn't come together like maybe, and I'm not going to throw the flag out yet. We don't know what can happen. But I will say that we have a good plan going forward with our young staff, with our good hitters. If we got to sign Nolte Cabrera, I'm going to leave it at that and see what your comments are. But what a great performance once again. And I asked you last week, I don't know if it's changed your opinion, do we need Nolte Cabrera in this on the Blue Jays lineup, or is there anything else we can find out there? Thank you very much, and have a good night.
All right, thanks for the call. And, yeah, Joe and I were talking about the offense and the 1-2 punches, and there's nobody in major leagues who has a better top five than the Blue Jays offensively with Reyes, Cabrera, Bautista, Linda, Encarnacion. It's just, it's not there. There's no team that has it, and that's one of the reasons it's amazing that the offense has dried up to the extent that it has. No, they don't need to sign Melky Cabrera. No one player is indispensable, but, boy, would it make their lives easier if he was willing to come back and they could come together on a contract. Got to step away for a second, but again, if you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll continue to take your calls in our local hour. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 2-0. It's a Honda postgame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. We'll make sure you can always follow your team. Listening to Toronto Blue Jays baseball on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
The 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. So the inning is over on 10 pitches. A fly ball. Thank you, Kevin Pillar. A ground ball to third. Thank you, Danny Valencia. And a strikeout as Drew can thank himself.
And Drew Hutchison can thank himself for a spectacular outing today. That was just the very first inning, and that was the first of 9 strikeouts for Drew Hutchison over 7 innings of one-hit shutout. Aaron Sanchez followed him with 2 perfect innings of relief, Sanchez picking up his first major league save and did it effortlessly. It was a tremendous job by both Blue Jay pitchers today, and with Casey Jansen struggling, Aaron Sanchez looked awfully good in the 8th. No reason not to send him back out for the 9th. And John Gibbons did, and he was perfect. 2-0. Blue Jays beat the Yankees. The third one-hitter for Blue Jays pitchers in the last 6 weeks, which is pretty impressive. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Taking your calls till 5 o'clock Eastern Time at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to Alan in Toronto. Alan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Jeter is not as good as Cal Ripken. 8,243 consecutive innings, that'll never be equaled. Plus, Cal had a little bit more power. You know, I've been listening to you since your inception back in 2002. You don't like Derek Jeter. You can't fool me because I've been listening to you. What is it you don't like about him? Is it because he has too much notoriety, or did he rub you the wrong way because you've been putting him down for quite a number of years?
I've never put Derek Jeter down. I don't like Derek Jeter. In fact, engaging with people on Twitter today showed me just how much, just how little people will take as an insult. When I say Derek Jeter is clearly a first ballot Hall of Famer, that's quite a level of respect and admiration for a guy's career. Derek Jeter is a no doubt first ballot Hall of Famer. No doubt. And you know what? I would kind of argue your point about Cal Ripken. Jeter doesn't have a better career OPS than too many of the great players in this game, but it's 30 points better than Cal Ripken. He doesn't have as much pop, it's true, but his career slugging percentage is only 6 points lower than Cal Ripken's. So, Ripken had that consecutive game streak, and Ripken was a very well-positioned defensive shortstop, and Jeter is the same. Neither of them were terribly rangy. But I don't know that Ripken was clearly better than Derek Jeter as a shortstop. I just think, honestly, nobody has ever been as good as we talk about Derek Jeter being. And that's what kills me. It's the over-Jeterification of this whole thing. Derek Jeter is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's got almost 3,500 hits. That's fantastic. Can we not leave it at that? Do we have to build him into a better player than he actually is? I mean, he's not even in the conversation for one of the best players of all time. Just, he's not. He's not a good defensive shortstop. I don't know why people can't see this. I don't know why we have to build it up. It's enough that he's got 3,500 hits almost. It's enough that he's been a part of five championship teams. He's a career almost 320 hitter. That stuff's fantastic. No need for extra stuff that's not true to build the myth of Derek Jeter. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We continue to take your calls right up to the top of the hour. But first, let's listen in on what the manager had to say. John Gibbons watched Drew Hutchison and Aaron Sanchez combine on a one-hitter. Here's his post-game comments.
Gibby, was that about as good as you've seen Hutchison here?
Yeah, he was really good. No, we've seen him good a number of times. It's almost like he's caught a second wind since that game in Chicago. You know, he gave up six in the first and then finished seven strong. And then, you know, it was that last outing here and this one today. We've seen him very good a lot of times this year. But, I mean, he's tough to get better than he was today.
Gibby, was that the plan with Sanchez all along today? Leave Jansen out there, have Sanchez pitch the last two?
Well, I think I told you guys the other day and we're trying to maximize who he is. You know, we don't want to throw him necessarily back-to-back days unless we're forced to. So if he goes out there and he's got one inning under his belt and it's easy, we're going to ride him.
Have you talked to Casey about that situation?
Yeah, I spoke to him in Seattle a while back. No controversy. Name of the game is win the game, right? I think that's the objective. I don't know sometimes, but...
Gibby, with Hutchison, from the seventh inning on this year, he's got a 1.26 ERA. So when he does stay in the game, he stays strong. Is that a good sign moving forward with him?
Yeah, Richard, I wasn't necessarily aware of that, but that's he's only going to get better, we think. You know, physically he's going to get stronger, and this experience he's had this year is only going to help him. But that's usually, that's a good indicator of the guys that are, the little better pitchers, they tire out a little bit, they keep their focus and they execute better. And that kind of tells you what kind of stuff a guy has too. You know, you get a little tired, but you can still dominate or be very effective. So, we think the sky's the limit with the kid.
Gibby, with Bautista, has he benefited from the protection of Lind and Encarnacion behind him? And is that part of why he's on this streak right now?
Yeah, maybe. He's on a nice little roll right now. That's the difference in the game right there. What's that, four in a row? Four games in a row, homers? It was key there. We had that guy on base, too, there's something to that. If you in the opponent dugout, the pitcher always sees who's on deck, that's no disrespect to anybody else. But, they look and see if a guy you got a guy over there that can burn you, that kind of guy. Doesn't necessarily have to be a good hitter, but a guy that can, one run out of the park on you or hit a gap or something like that. So, we're definitely a better team with all those guys in there. Eddie got the hit that last at bat. Hopefully that gets him going.
A week ago this time, Bautista was kind of scuffling and he was thrown out of that game. Was it just a matter of time before he got his game together and started hitting again?
Oh, yeah. He's a great hitter. And nobody does it from day one through the end of the season every day. It's too hard a skill to master, and the thing he does, he strikes fear into you regardless. He can be struggling, but it's one swing of the bat, he can change the game, but there's a lot to his swing. With the kick, and he's got a long swing, so sometimes that's easy to get out of whack, but he's always a threat.
There's John Gibbons talking about Jose Bautista, earlier talking about Sanchez, and he said he spoke to Casey Jansen when the Blue Jays were in Seattle, and that was 2.5 weeks ago. So no controversy there, but that's the first time. Well, the second time, Brett Cecil also the other day got the last four outs of a game, and Casey Jansen stayed in the pen during a save situation. And he's been struggling since the All-Star break, and like John Gibbons says, the name of the game is winning, and you expect there not to be any hurt feelings if you win games. that's what it's supposed to be. And again, Gibby not managing to a stat, though he certainly would if Casey Jansen pitched in the second half the way he did in the first half and last year and the year before that. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 2-0 behind a combined one hitter from Drew Hutchison and Aaron Sanchez. And even though this present team is certainly scuffling at 8-17 in the month of August, the future appears to be in very, very good hands in Blue Jays land. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell in long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Give me a call. We'll talk. Just don't call and tell me that I hate Derek Jeter. I don't hate Derek Jeter. I am not a fan of the myth of Derek Jeter. I wish we could just talk about him for who he is, but by no means do I hate Derek Jeter. Let's go to Michael in Whitby. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hey, Michael.
Hey there. So hopefully I'm going to talk about Derek Jeter as a real human.
Good.
I agree with you almost totally on him, other than the fact that I guess he's a first. Of course, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I don't. I think the difference between a first ballot Hall of Famer and a second ballot Hall of Famer is garbage. So I just.
Yeah, I think if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer too. I agree with you there, but we haven't evolved to that point yet.
Right. Anyways, I just wanted to agree with you on the standing ovation thing. That is ridiculous that we're giving a standing ovation to another team's player. But I would have liked it in the last game, like tomorrow. And I was disappointed that we didn't do that for Mariano Rivera last year.
The standing ovation?
Yeah, kind of. Like he didn't pitch that game, but the congratulations on his last season was done pregame, like well pregame. I'm kind of a Rivera fan, so I kind of wanted to see them do a bit more. But granted, we're an opposing team.
Yeah, it's the thing. It's an opposing team, and he didn't. I hadn't remembered whether he pitched in the game or not, but you tell me he didn't. That's good enough for me. You know, what do you want? A shot of him in the bullpen in the ninth inning, and to get the fans to stand up and cheer. I don't know how much I like that.
Fair enough. I think I would have. I think he was. I don't know. He went and thanked the janitorial staff and everything, or at least that's what was said or reported by media. So I would have liked to see that.
All right, I'm fine with a pregame ceremony to honor a guy and say, you know, you had a wonderful career, congratulations, when you're not a member of this team. I think that's enough. And I don't mind the farewell tours. I didn't mind the Rivera farewell tour. I don't mind the Jeters having a farewell tour. I think it's fairer for the fans to let them know that this is your last chance to get to see these guys, Hall of Famers. You know, I'm all for Hall of Famers getting a chance to have goodbye said to them. But it's overwrought a little bit. I mean, you don't have to give the guy a standing ovation every game if he's an opposition player. And that's what rubs me the wrong way. Tomorrow, during the ceremony, lovely. Tomorrow, in his last at-bat at Rogers Center, fine. But every game, it's just too much.
Agreed. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays, 2-0 over the New York Yankees. Drew Hutchison and Aaron Sanchez, who are 25 years old combined, combine on a one-hit shutout. They're 45 years old combined. Pardon me. Kevin is in Toronto. Kevin, you're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hello, Mike, first-time caller. I want to, first of all, acknowledge your knowledge of the game. I listened to you for many, many years. I've often been tempted to call in. I finally work up the courage, and I want to address a little bit about your criticism or your comment around the standing O's for Derek Jeter. I'm not particularly a Yankee fan. I'm not a Jeter fan. I admire him as a player. But I want to approach this from the perspective of an average fan.
Sure.
And we have three games here with the Yankees to close out the season. We have three different sellout crowds. So it doesn't surprise me in any way that each of those crowds are going to give a standing ovation for an outstanding baseball player. I'm going to the game tomorrow. I plan to stand for Derek Jeter. I'm going to tomorrow's game not so much for the Jays, but for a Derek Jeter final game in Toronto. I would dare to say that the sellout crowds, and I know New York always draws a good crowd, but the sellout crowds this weekend are in large part due to the Derek Jeter farewell tour as much as they are to go and see the Blue Jays.
Well, I don't know about that because, like you just said, the Yankees almost always sell out here on weekends, so it's tough to say that, yeah, an extra 10 or 12 people. But I get the whole there are three different crowds. I don't believe that there are actually three wholly different crowds. I mean, I don't think there are going to be 135,000 different people at three games against the Yankees this year, but there may only be 10,000 who are the same game in and game out for each of the three games. I just think that, I just don't know why you feel like that's the way you need to pay your respects to a guy who has played on the other team for 20 years, who you know, the Blue Jays have never had as good a rivalry with as you'd like to them for them to have had, and they haven't finished ahead of the Yankees once in Derek Jeter's entire career. It just seems like it's too much for an opposing player, even a Hall of Famer. It just seems like it's too much. I mean,
if I can make a bit of an analogy, Mike. I don't know if you've ever been to a stage show or on Broadway, but
sure.
Those shows go night after night after night, and they bring in the crowds, and the shows typically end with a standing ovation. I'm not saying that show is necessarily in honor of a standing ovation, but when you've got somebody that's dedicated 20 years to baseball, and I take this all from the perspective of the average player, not somebody that's going to come in with the full knowledge of Jeter's numbers or how they stack up to all of the other notable
Hall of Famers. But I don't think Cal Ripken got a standing ovation in every game he played in the last series he played in Toronto.
Who was that? I missed it.
Cal Ripken. And he's the last guy I can remember, besides Rivera. Rivera is different because he's not a position player. But he's the last guy I can remember that was a no-doubt, 1,000% Hall of Famer, one of the greats in the game, and we knew that this was going to be it for him.
And we got Mariano Rivera, which I can totally appreciate. And you got Derek Jeter, an everyday player. So I can understand maybe a crowd different reaction.
Well, yeah, that's why I brought up Ripken, not Rivera.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for giving me the courage to call in. And once again, I'm going to close out with saying thank you because of all of the announcers, of all of the after-game commentaries, I've appreciated you above them all. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that a whole lot. So thank you very much. And you don't need courage to call in. You don't. All you need is to want to talk about baseball and be able to back up your opinions. That's all. No courage necessary. All are welcome here. But just, you know, expect that you're going to have to, you're not going to be able to say something and not have to back it up. That's all. But I do appreciate the call, and I very much appreciate the kind words. I wish I hadn't waited so long, so many years to call. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 2-0. Drew Hutchison and Aaron Sanchez combine on a one-hit shutout. And tomorrow is Derek Jeter's final game in Toronto. One hopes he's going to be in the starting lineup. We do see Jeter get some days off on turf. Maybe he'll DH. Dave is in Waterloo. Dave, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike, dear. Thanks for taking my call there. One of my biggest questions, sir, we've seen him perform extremely well there in the last month there, Aaron Sanchez.
Yep.
My big question for you is, has he made a case for the number one closer next year?
Oh, I hope not. I want him starting next year.
You want him starting?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, he's been a great. I mean, he played that 19. I remember that 19 inning game where he went six shutout innings.
No, that was Chad Jenkins.
Oh, Jenkins.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, even you look at the last, like, six up, six down, just like that.
Yeah,
just
it was
finished
great,
the game.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, it was.
I know. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, like, I mean, there. I mean, we've all. Jansen hasn't exactly had a good. He's been struggling in the closer's role. That's why I'm wondering, who do you think should be the closer next year?
I don't know. You know what? I really don't. I want Sanchez starting. He's been a starter his whole professional career and on the way up, and he's got a chance to be one of the top starters in the game eventually. I mean, he's only 22 years old. And Drew Hutchison,
exactly. He's an up-and-comer. We've got long-term for him
So I'd much rather see him throw 180 or 200 innings than 60 out of the bullpen. But he's been great out of the bullpen, no question. Casey Jansen's a free agent at the end of the year. I would love to have him back. I think he's been phenomenal for the Blue Jays his entire career, aside from the last month and a half.
Do they re-sign him? That's the big question.
It's not up to them. It's up to him. And we'll see. At this point, I think I wouldn't bet on it. So you do, you know, you have to wonder who's going to be the closer next year. And I think the top candidates right now are Brett Cecil and Dustin McGowan.
Oh, definitely. They're definitely right in there. They've been outstanding there. I really appreciate that there. So.
All right.
Thanks for taking my call there, Mike.
Thanks for making it. Appreciate it. But it's going to be very interesting. The makeup of the Blue Jays bullpen, because I think they thought Sergio Santos was going to be the answer, and he was going to take over for Casey Jansen as the closer, and that has not worked out at all. Sergio Santos has been here 3 years, and he's had one good month, maybe two, last year in August and September. That's it. And he's off the 40-man roster right now. Blue Jays, I can't imagine they're going to pick up his option for next season. So you're looking at a bullpen core that consists of McGowan, Cecil, and Aaron Loop. Hopefully Steve Delabar can turn things around. But it's going to be tough for them to find a closer if Casey Jansen leaves. Doug is in Peterborough. Hey, Doug.
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to say, regarding the Jeter thing, I thought I'd call in and just make a point that, life's pretty wonderful when you think about it. I mean, everybody is giving him a standing ovation, but nobody really knows why. I think it's because he's due, like 18 years or whatever in New York.
20.
And he's so grounded. He's never got in trouble. And that's really what people are standing for, I think.
Oh, I don't think so.
The hits are gravy.
I think people are standing for the fact that whenever we talk about Derek Jeter, and I'm not included in that we, he's talked about as, you know, the captain of the Yankees and the key to their five World Series championships and you know, how wonderful, how clutch he is and how great a person he is, all by people who've, like, probably most of them have never spoken to him for more than 20 minutes over the course of their lifetimes.
Don't you think you'd put him in the same sort of league as, say, a Sakic or an Iserman?
Honestly, I don't know. No, I don't think so. Not an Iserman, and I honestly don't know enough about Joe Sakic to be able to say. But did he? He didn't spend his whole career with one team, did he?
Yeah,
he did. He retired with Colorado. I thought he bounced somewhere after that, but that's fine. I mean, it's wonderful that he spent his whole career in New York, and it's wonderful that he hasn't been involved in any scandals, but really, is that our measuring stick for greatness?
These days, I think it is.
I hope not.
I think people are looking for a little apple pie.
And I think people have created that apple pie with someone that they want to represent it without really knowing whether it's true or not.
We'll just have to get. That's my take on it anyway.
All right, I appreciate it, and I think you are speaking to the myth of Derek Jeter, and I think that's why people are standing, and you know, if you talk to Yankee fans, ask them to compare Derek Jeter to Alex Rodriguez, they laugh in your face. Rodriguez is a joke to them. And yet Alex Rodriguez was a better shortstop when he got traded to the Yankees than Derek Jeter could ever hope to be. Alex Rodriguez is a better hitter than Jeter. Jorge Posada, Bernie Williams, both had better career OPSs than Derek Jeter. They're all better defensively than Jeter, though Posada was catching, but the same way Jeter is at shortstop. And yet Jeter's the one that's revered. And I appreciate the slamming his face into the stands to get a foul ball, and I, you know, the jump throws are pretty cool and all of that stuff. I just don't think I just think it gets taken too far. That's all. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 2-0. Jeter goes 0-for-4. He is 1-for-9 in this series so far. Jacob in Toronto is listening on the MLB radio app. Hey, Jacob.
How's it going, Mike? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was just wondering, Drew Hutchison, obviously a great performance today with 9 Ks, no earned runs, and a decent performance yesterday or last time out against Tampa with an earned run and 7 Ks. But the time before that against Chicago and then before that against Seattle with 7 earned runs and 6 earned runs,
yep,
and only 5 Ks and 3 Ks, it seems he's been a bit shaky as of, on and off again. And I feel like, what do you think about the possibility of him staying for the future and only being a 9-11 win-loss guy?
Well, I don't think win-loss matters at all. No, not at all. I don't think pitchers can control that. So that doesn't get me going. But, yeah, you're absolutely right in the ups and downs of Drew Hutchison this year. And there have been more downs than ups. And he had that run where from the middle of June until the middle of August, I think he only had 3 good starts.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's part of being 24 years old. And for the most part, between the middle of June and the middle of August, he was 23. It's part of being a young pitcher in his first full season in the major leagues, Tommy John surgery or otherwise. It's more about being young and being in your first full year in the big leagues. And those are the ups and downs that go with it. And to be now just having turned 24 and put in a performance like this and get through the ups and downs of that first full year, that's what stands you in good stead for a very strong career.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, I mean, if he's going to continue, I guess what I'm saying is I try to, like, going up and down and having these great starts. Like, he's showing a lot of promise when he's, I mean, again, today. I mean, it was a fantastic start. One hit,
yep,
kind of dominated the Yankees there.
Totally.
If he can continue and have, you know, even not always this, because, I mean, it's impossible to have every start like this. He'd be a
right.
$100 million player. But
no, nobody's ever done that.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, if he can, you know, not have these 7 earned run, 6 earned run games against, average teams, if he can, like, you know, continue and have, you know, average starts like 8 hits, 2 earned runs rather than 7 earned runs, I mean, I feel like he could definitely be him, Stroman, and Sanchez could be, like, you know, the core of our future.
I think your expectations are pretty high. I really do. I mean, you're talking about, like, a guy having an ERA around 240, 250 if he pitches like that all the time. And that's
true.
You know, that's way too much to expect from people. Roy Halladay didn't even do that often.
Yeah.
You know, I think what you have to do is set your expectations realistically that pitchers, you know, if they go out and have 32 starts in a season and in 18 of them they're carrying great stuff and pitching really well, that's fantastic. And if they can gut their way through most of the other ones where they don't have their best stuff, you'll take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think the Blue Jays stand in very good stead with Drew Hutchison, with Stroman, with Sanchez. And Hutchison has had the most experience of the three. He's the oldest. And, you know, if he's your 3 or 4 for the next 5 years, you're in really good shape. I appreciate the call. I appreciate all the calls, and we will continue to take more calls as we continue on Blue Jays Talk here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. The Jays blank the Yankees 2-0. Jose Bautista's first inning 2-run homer. All the damage The Yankees managed only one hit off of Drew Hutchison in seven innings, and Aaron Sanchez two perfect innings of relief to earn his first major league save. The Jays stay over 500, and well, we're going to find out in the update, I hope, whether or not the Tigers won or lost, see if the Blue Jays pick up a full game in the wild card standings for now at least. More of your calls coming up on the other side. It is Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
There's a swing and a miss. Hutchison just struck out the great Ichiro Suzuki. Nine up and nine down for Drew. Look at him. We go to the bottom of the third. Blue Jays 2, Yanks nothing.
That's the way it would stay. Drew Hutchison retired the first 11 batters he faced, then gave up a double around a couple of hit batsmen, and then retired 10 of the next 12. The only blemishes, a walk to Carlos Beltran in the sixth and to Stephen Drew in the seventh, both with two out. Hutchison was phenomenal in seven innings of one-hit shutout against these New York Yankees. The Blue Jays have 3-1 hitters in the last 6 weeks, and Hutchison has started two of them. Not to be forgotten, Aaron Sanchez, six up, six down, with three strikeouts, all looking to earn his first major league save. Blue Jays blank the Yankees 2-0. Jose Bautista with his fourth home run in as many games. A two-run shot in the first for the only scoring. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, taking your calls at the top of the hour when we go to TFC Soccer. So let's get right back to it. Dave in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Go right ahead.
How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
Good. I'm just wondering, do you think there's any coincidence to the four home run hitting streak and the ejection by Bautista?
I don't. I would think that Bautista had enough to be fired up about over the month of August, watching the Blue Jays lose 10 games in a playoff race, than, you know, that he would be fired up by getting ejected. I think it's just a matter of his timing coming around and his swing coming back and good things happening.
Oh, that's fair enough. I mean, it's four hard runs in a row.
Yeah, it's been
not
swell.
Often.
No, and you don't see that very much at all. I just find it, you know, if players were able to rouse the emotions necessary to do something like that, why wouldn't they do it at an important time in the season?
It looks like he is.
Well, but two, three yeah. weeks ago was more important, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't have as big a hole that they had. Yeah.
All right, appreciate it, Mike.
No, I appreciate it, too. And I like your observating. You know, Bautista gets thrown out, then takes a collar the next day, and he has hit a home run in every game since then. And today his two-run shot gave the Blue Jays more than they would need and all that they would get in a 2-0 win over the New York Yankees. Let's go out to Port Colborne, Ontario. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Mike. I wanted you to know that I won't be making you happy tomorrow.
Why not?
I'll be giving Derek Jeter a standing ovation.
But tomorrow is the day that you're supposed to give Derek Jeter a standing ovation.
I know, but if you don't have tickets for tomorrow and you had tickets for Friday night or Saturday afternoon, why shouldn't you be able to give Jeter a standing ovation?
Well, why? What if you had tickets for, you know, the last time the Yankees were in town in June and you didn't have tickets for this series? Why don't you give him a standing ovation then?
It wasn't his last trip around.
It's last year, though.
I know. I think the other thing you need to... You mentioned that there might be 10,000 people at each of the three games.
The same 10,000, I mean.
Yeah. You got to know that at least half of them are Yankee fans, so they're going to give them a standing ovation at every game.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. So, and there may be more of them, actually, than just 10,000 in every game.
Anyway, I wanted to let you know that I'll be giving them a standing ovation tomorrow, even though I'm a huge Yankee hater. I was a Tigers fan before the Jays came into the league. I've never liked the Yankees. I always cheer against them. but you got to respect Jeter and his talent and what he stands for.
What does he stand for?
He plays the game hard. He hustles. I remember that play he made on the relay from the right field corner.
Yeah, in the 2001 playoffs.
I was watching that live and went, wow. And I think that's just an indication of the kind of guy he is.
That he would be completely out of position on a play and make a little flip that if Jeremy Giambi slides, we'll never remember?
Where was he supposed to be?
Not there.
Well, he went to the ball and made the play.
He certainly did. No, he did. He certainly did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's enjoy Jeter for who he is, and let's hope the Jays spank them 10-0 tomorrow.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks.
I appreciate it, Gary. And that's really all I want. Let's enjoy Jeter for who he is, not what he isn't. Who he is a damn good baseball player and a Hall of Famer. Tim in Toronto. Hey, Tim.
How's it going, Mike?
Doing a show, that kind of stuff.
All right, good to hear.
Watching kids run the bases, that's always fun.
Yeah, it is fun. June J Saturdays, got to say.
Yeah.
One of the things that kind of annoys me a little about the discourse in the last little while is I know the Jays had a rough season. I mean, last year a lot of hope was raised with the trades and whatnot, but I really don't like a lot of the talk where people say, well, this team's, you know, crap, blow it up, you know, get rid of everybody, we need to blow it up and start again, there's nothing to hope for. The thing is, I see a lot to hope for. I look at some of the players coming up like Nolan, Ozuna, and a guy like Hoffman who's, you know, was supposed to be a first to even number three pick, and we get him simply because he had Tommy John surgery. I look at him, and I look at some guys like Norris and even, you know, people like Romero and Cecil and Delbar who could have a bounce-back year. Remember you saying earlier in the season that sometimes bullpens, you know, year to year, have an up year. So, I mean, it may sound crazy to say, but, you know, imagine you get the 2011 Ricky Romero back for 1 year out of the bullpen. That's not bad.
That's not bad. I think that's a bit of a pipe dream, but I certainly,
yeah, probably.
You know, you hope with the knee surgery that he's going to be better. But, yeah, there's a lot to hope for, and I don't think it's about necessarily Jeff Hoffman or Roberto Osuna. I mean, those guys are a ways away still, and I wouldn't have put Sean Nolan on the list, though I do think we're going to see him in September. But, you know, Sanchez, Stroman, Hutchison, Daniel Norris, Dalton Pompey is a heartbeat away.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Gost, Kevin Pillar, who, you know, I know Kevin Pillar hasn't really had any success at the major league level yet, but I think he's in his fourth year in professional baseball, and he's hit over 300 at every single different level of minor league baseball. So I think he's going to be very good. Brett Lorre is already an elite level defensive player. And you go with the stuff that I said earlier today about the lineup, nobody in baseball has a better top five than the Blue Jays do. And it's, yeah, there's no need to blow this thing up. That's just cutting off your nose to spite your face.
I agree. My question is this. I know this may be a little bit similar to something that was asked earlier, but one of the concerns I've been hearing, and he's been my favorite player for the last few seasons. I'd be very disappointed to see him go, but Casey Jansen there's been a little bit of chatter here and there, even from some Sportsnet guys, about, you know, one call from Magic Johnson and he's out of here. I mean, he's a free agent at the end of the year. And my question was similar to another one in terms of thinking of a closer. I mean, two of them come to mind for me, and I want to see what you think of either of these scenarios. One is, and again, this is a bit of a short sample size, but I was amazed by Chad Jenkins that game against Detroit. He went six innings, and a lot of them, you know, not the greatest performances in the world in each of those, but it was like watching six ninth-inning performances, because against that Detroit lineup, my goodness, you know.
He was outstanding that
day. Now, the other one I was thinking of, and he had been a reliever before, and his career as a starter has been kind of up and down. The one I was thinking of was Brandon Morrow, whether you decline his $10 million option and maybe sign him to 1 year five and see how he does as a bullpen.
Well, it's up. First of all, if you decline his option, he's a free agent, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So you can't guarantee that he'd be back if you do that. I love Brandon Morrow. I always have. And we've seen what he can do when he's healthy, but his issues with staying healthy, it's crazy. Three different freak injuries in each of the last three seasons. That you can't count on him to make 30 starts. So it's not a crazy idea to send him back to the bullpen. And I'm glad, Tim, that you asked about Brandon Morrow, because we've got some audio to play for you.
Oh, nice.
So sit back and listen, and everybody else listen as well. Brandon Morrow has been called up to the Buffalo Bisons. He had one outing in Dunedin, and he may pitch for Buffalo tonight, maybe tomorrow. They've only got three games left in their season. First of all, here's what John Gibbons had to say to Jerry Howarth today about the immediate future plans for Brandon Morrow.
You know, he made a rehab start down in Dunedin the other night. You know, he'll pitch, I think it is tomorrow, you know, for Buffalo. They're playing in Rochester for a second outing. And we'll just kind of see when they can expand rosters in September. We'll see where he's at. But, you know, when he comes up here, it'll be primarily coming out of the bullpen. You know, he hasn't had enough time to work up any stamina to start any games. So, but, yeah, he's pitching that role before, like you said, in Seattle. You look at the... You know what he features. I mean, he's got a good live fastball, and he's got a great slider. You know, maybe you bring him out of the pen for an inning or two, and just let him air it out. And who knows what happens there? I mean, that's turned a lot of guys into some pretty good pitchers, anyway. So, and with his history of injuries, you know, he's had a hard time holding up in the starting role. You know, maybe that bullpen right now is just what he needs.
So there you go. Those are the immediate plans for Brandon Morrow, and that was yesterday. So Morrow's going to pitch tonight in Rochester. He threw one inning in that rehab outing in Dunedin and didn't give up a hit or a walk. And we'll keep an eye on what he does in Buffalo tonight. Also keeping an eye on what Brandon Morrow does in Buffalo tonight will be their play-by-play man down there with the Bisons, Ben Wagner. And we've got Ben's conversation with Brandon Morrow from when he reported to Buffalo.
100%. You know, my outing the other day in Dunedin, I treated...
Just talk about how you're feeling right now.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously good enough to get out and throw, and I've been throwing at 100%. You know, my outing the other day in Dunedin, I treated it like I needed to get those guys out, right? Because there's not that much time left, and I'll just have time for a couple outings before the minor league seasons are ending, and I felt like I really needed to... ramp it up and feel like I was ready to go at that level, you know.
What's the plan for today for you?
I believe I'll be throwing an inning at some point. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be too, like, choreographed, mm-hmm. you know. Like, in Dunedin, they said I was going to start the game. I told them I didn't want to, which is because I haven't relieved in 5 years, so I wanted to try and get that routine down, and hopefully it'll be like that today or... You know, I don't want to know which inning I'm throwing. I want them just to call down and call my name and get ready like you would mm-hmm. any other, you know, like a regular game in the big leagues where you're not rehabbing.
What are your thoughts on a reliever role? Because that's something that's been talked about you, at least. I don't know if they've talked to you about that, but what would be your thoughts on a reliever role?
Well, that's how it's going to have to be this year. Uh-huh. I mean, there's just not enough time to get the innings and to make any starts. And really, there'd be like... Even if I could, there'd maybe be like a week and a half left by the time I was stretched out to six innings, to 85, 100 pitches where they need me to be. It'd be almost, the season would be almost over anyway. So I'm just happy to be able to get out there, really. I mean, it's been, you know, an unfortunate couple of years where I haven't been able to do my job. And I'm just happy right now to be feeling good and to be throwing the ball the way I would like to, and you know, I'm going to try and continue that next couple of days and then keep that going up there. I'll just be ready when they call my number.
Obviously, the finger feels fine if you're up
yeah.
and throwing and doing everything else. Was there any adjustment to get the arm ready or any change in terms of
no,
the
I mean,
that you've had to make?
No, my arm came along faster than my finger. Obviously, that took the longest just to get it back feeling normal. I was throwing with tape on it for a long time to keep it supported, and then it's just a kind of a slow, frustrating injury. You know, you put so much pressure on that specific very small part on your hand when you throw, and it just took a long time before it felt strong enough to let it go. But like I said, now I let it go at 100%. I mean, I think the radar gun numbers show that I was pretty good the other night, and you know, I'm just gonna, like I said, try to keep keep trying to do that and be ready to pitch when they need me to.
And the body feels good too, getting back on the mound and
yeah. No, I felt great. I actually had a little bit of butterflies, even though it was an A ball game. But coming in from the bullpen, because it'd been a long time since I did that, and you almost feel a little bit rushed getting loose and everything. It was good. It was fun.
So there he is, Brandon Morrow, and it's great to hear him again, saying all the right things. He's a smart, smart guy. And like he said, didn't want to start a rehab game, wanted them to call down to the bullpen so he would have to get ready on whatever notice it was going to be. And that's the way it's going to be when he gets back. He doesn't have enough time to get stretched out to start. And we'll see. Maybe Brandon Morrow does provide that little electric lift in the bullpen to go with Aaron Sanchez and Dustin McGowan and Brett Cecil and Aaron Loop, and hopefully a revitalized Casey Jansen and give the Blue Jays a lockdown bullpen in September. We're going to see Daniel Norris here as well, I would expect. So Morrow will pitch an inning tonight, and hopefully he can pitch again on Monday and then get called up. And I don't know, next year's closer? I'd certainly rather see him get a chance to be in the rotation, but I'd also rather see Morrow for 6 months than for two. So maybe. He's done it before, and he was a good one in Seattle for a little while. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 2-0. Drew Hutchison and Aaron Sanchez combining on a one-hit shutout. I'm Mike Wilner. Taking your calls, let's go to Michael in Toronto. You're up next on Blue Jays Talk. Good evening, afternoon, whatever it is.
Hello, Mike. I called in to say that, well, I appreciated last year talking to everyone down off the ledge the last half of last season. I know that you're a knowledgeable commentator. I agree. But I think this notion, if you're telling paying customers in the last 3 days here of the Derek Jeter tour in Toronto, telling them that they can't get up and give them one standing ovation in those last three games is just arrogant. It's just arrogant. I mean, who are you to tell them that?
Well,
of course they can do that.
First of all,
and furthermore,
are you going to let me respond, or you just want to yell at me?
Well, let me you talk enough. Let me furthermore to tell them that they probably don't know what they're cheering for.
I didn't say that.
You said, well, do they know what they're cheering for?
No, I didn't.
I think.
No, I appreciate. No, I didn't, and I appreciate you listening very carefully, Michael, and thank you for the call. You and I obviously have a very different definition of arrogant. I don't think that an opposition player needs a standing ovation every game of the last series he plays here. And if you do, that's your prerogative. I don't. Period. Never did I suggest that they don't know what they're cheering for. I think a lot of people have fallen under the spell of the myth of Derek Jeter, and that's what they think they're cheering for. But the truth is they're cheering for a Hall of Famer regardless. Paul is in Toronto. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mike, I just want to ask you your opinion on the chemistry within the Blue Jay clubhouse. It seems that, you got Francisco, Melky, Reyes, all sitting at one end of the bench, and they really don't communicate with too many other guys on the bench, especially Francisco. He just basically sits at the end of the bench, and it seems like he's moping all the time.
Yeah, I don't see into the dugout as much as people who watch on TV get to see into the dugout, and I think it's it only kind of gives you a snippet of what's going on during the game. But I don't have an issue with the Spanish speakers sitting with each other.
Well, I think there's a lack of chemistry amongst everybody on the team. I think as a team, everybody should be communicating a bit better. And
based
on
what, though?
The celebrations. And they just seem to be at one end of the bench, and the other guys seem to be at the other end of the bench, and there's not much communication in between.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a valid thing for a great portion of the time during the game.
I don't know if it's just a language barrier thing or if it's just they don't get along, but it might be a language barrier thing. But what I sense from Francisco, he's not a very happy guy. He doesn't seem to get along with much guys other than Reyes and Melky and Jose.
Yeah, I think that these are things that you're not qualified to comment on, and I think that these are things that I'm not qualified to comment on either. We have no idea who gets along with who likes who doesn't like who. There's one face that players put on for the media and the fans, and there's another face that they put on behind closed doors. And Juan Francisco seems to be a quiet guy who keeps to himself, who doesn't speak any English. But then a lot of people have suggested that he's great pals with Bautista and Encarnacion and Cabrera, And Bautista is a guy who everyone on the team states is the leader. I hate getting into things like this because there's really so much we don't know. And a lot of people talk like they actually do know what's going on down there. And nobody does except the 25 guys, the coaches.
Well, just the language barrier alone is enough to set some kind of difference within the room.
Well, but so what? There's you know, in the last
well, how can you have
150 years of Major League Baseball, you have guys who don't speak the same language.
Yeah, well, how do you communicate properly if you can't even speak with each other?
You don't. Have a team? You don't have to be best friends with all 24 guys on the team. You know, you think back to the winning teams that the Blue Jays had. There were a couple of guys who didn't speak English on those teams. Still won World Series. They still managed to all be happy together when they were winning. Chemistry is a very strange thing to me to discuss, because it seems like when teams win, whether they have good chemistry or not, you will make things up to show yourself that they do. And when they lose, whether they have good chemistry or not, you'll make things up to show yourself that they don't. And we just don't know. We really don't. Roger and Thorold, you're next. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. I'll make it quick. I know we're up against the clock, but I just wanted your opinion on something. And I hate making assumptions, but hear me out. If assuming Melky comes back and assuming Colby's gone, that would leave the center field spot open.
Right.
And I would assume, again, that it would be either Gose's job to win or Kevin Pillar's job to win at this present time, unless they make it a trade.
Yeah, or a platoon of the two of them.
Right. So if they don't, would you put the best defensive player in there or the best hitter in there, and which one would you use as the fourth outfielder?
I would platoon them. I would play Gose against righties and Pillar against lefties and see if someone wants to take the bull by the horns and really, you know, get going offensively. They're both superior defensive players. Gose is better, but Pillar's really, really good. He's not going to hurt you out there in center field. But I would. That's how I would start out the season, with the two of them sharing center.
All right. Well, thanks very much.
No problem. Happy to help. But I love platoons. I really do. Always have. I think they work really, really well if you have the right guy running them and the right players in them. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 2-0, a combined one-hit shutout from Drew Hutchison and Aaron Sanchez. Third one-hitter for the Blue Jays since July 24th, and Hutchison has pitched in two of them. But time for one more quick. Sharon in Whitby.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Two things. First of all, thanks for being the positive guy you are. Not very many positive sportscasters on the Jays right now. And number two, if Toronto didn't stand for Jeter, and everybody else is, wouldn't we just be stupid Canadians that don't know the game, America's game?
No, I hope not. But not everybody's standing for him every game, right? He got a standing O today. He got a standing O yesterday. He's going to get a standing O tomorrow. So do you have to do it every time? I don't think so. I guess we're out of time. So thank you, Sharon. Sorry we couldn't keep you on longer. But if someone wants to point and say, oh, these are stupid Canadian fans who don't know the game, then that reflects more on them than it does on us. Derek Jeter's last game ever in Toronto in the regular season is tomorrow. We're on 12:30 for a 107 first pitch. We'll see you then.